Cerruto, try it again. Fans on the feet, 6,000 in attendance. The payoff is flied into right field, going back at the warning track, at the wall. It's gone! Go ahead, three-run home run for the senior! Peter Cerruto has given the Indiana Hoosiers the lead!
Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We are recording this on Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. I am Carl James, joined by Chris Feeney and Cassidy Palmer. The Indiana University baseball team went 3-0, sweeping Rutgers at the BART this past weekend. This is the second series sweep for the Hoosiers this season, the first at home, and the first in conference play. Oh, and the Hoosiers did all this without the services of ace starter Connor Foley. Friday, the Hoosiers threw a trio of bullpen arms for three innings each, who held a very potent Rutgers offense to three runs. Brandon Keister, Julian Tongini, and Braden Reisdorf held the Scarlet Knights at bay, while Joey Brancheski, Cal Sefcik, and Nick Mitchell did damage at the plate against a legit Friday night starter to give the Hoosiers an 8-3 win. Saturday, the Hoosiers clinched their fourth straight conference series win. Devin Taylor racked up 11 total bases, and the Hoosier offense kept the Hoosiers ahead when Ty Bothwell handed the ball to Drew Burr, who was lights out for the last five innings. Sunday, the Hoosiers swept the series in run rule fashion, needing only two pitchers, with Aiden Decker-Petty carrying a bulk of the workload in the win. Taylor, Sefcik, Mitchell all hit long balls, along with Tyler Cerny hitting a grand slam and Carter Matheson hitting his 40th home run in his career as a Hoosier. Cass, what are your thoughts on this past weekend?
Yeah, so a little kind of related to the weekend, but also a little bit the season in general. I was looking, because it seemed like just everything was clicking all weekend for Indiana, which we haven't necessarily seen. Really, really kind of since that Baylor series where, like, yep, everything is clicking, no problems. And so I wanted to look at the breakdown of, well, I guess typically Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but game one, game two, game three, because of some cold weather in there. And just the difference between Saturdays, game twos, whatever, I'm calling them Saturdays, is just crazy. On Saturdays, the Hoosiers are 10-1, scoring 10.5 runs a game and allowing 5.5 runs a game. Like, just everything is clicking on Saturdays. However, Fridays and Sundays are similar results reached in a different way. Hoosiers are 5-6 in Friday's game ones, scoring 5.5 runs and giving up about 6.5 runs. So it's close, which shows in that 5-6 record. On Sundays, the Hoosiers are 6-5, so just the opposite side of that. They're giving up more runs. They're giving up 8 runs a game in game threes, but they're scoring 10.5 runs in game threes. So I just found it interesting that Fridays and Sundays are remarkably similar results, but then Saturdays are just their own thing. Like, everything is clicking on Saturdays. And that's going to be due largely to the consistency early season, the combo of Foley and Bothwell. And then that's been kind of thrown off with Foley going out. But even midweeks are far closer than it had felt at times. We've had some pretty blowout midweeks. Hoosiers are 4-6 in those midweeks. They've scored 8 runs on average and given up 8.5. It felt like that would be very different based on some of the midweeks, but it's pretty well evened out in runs scored. And it's not far off in total results either. So whatever it is on Saturdays, that particularly the runs scored on Saturdays and Sundays, if they can apply just a little bit of that to Fridays, we can see a huge, huge difference. Like, again, even with this weekend, this past weekend with Rutgers scoring 8 runs, that's not that much more than the 5.5, but it led to a win. It flipped the script a little bit on how Fridays typically have been. So that's what stood out to me with from the weekend and the season, kind of looking at a bit of both, looking at the numbers. Chris, how about those red belts? What do you have?
Well, I'll tell you, there was some close decisions this week. You know, it was a real fun weekend at the BART. I was able to go Saturday and Sunday, and the weather and the crowd and the atmosphere, really fun. I know Sunday was a blowout from early on, but that Saturday game, I mean, it was close. What did we get, 4 runs late, maybe in the 8th? So that when you see that final of Saturday, that was a close ball game. That was like a real good ball game. And IU just did what it had to do, and the crowd was into it. And like I said, Sunday felt like more like a party. Except for that one inning, Rutgers scored a bunch with those homers, and it was like, wait a second. But, you know, we still came back. Lots of offense, lots of great pitching, lots of great defense. So the belts, that makes a hard belt weekend, you know, right? But I'll take it. I'd rather have hard decisions because so many guys did well. A couple honorable mentions. I'm going to go Joey B defensively at first base. Really, really nice stretches over there, saving some outs, saving some errors, turning them into outs, which is real big time. Let's see. Just because Taylor has the swag out there and left, he made some great catches. And is he cooler than the other side of the pillow when he does it, too? I love it. Just kind of leaves the glove there on the side. You got a whole bunch of dads telling the kids, you're not going to do it that way, right? Oh, it's great. I love it. But for our defensive red belt, for our Tony Butler, I'm going to go Carter Matheson for that play in the gap Sunday. It just wowed me, you know. We were up by so much. Was it a game-changing play? No. But he covered a ton of ground. He did what he had to do. And honestly, Carter had been slumping until this weekend, but his defense never slumped. And I think it just kind of like brought it out to me, and it reminded me, like, he never took that slump out into the field. You know, he was still doing what he had to do. And he made that catch. I don't know, man. I was out of my seat. And again, we were up by 10. You can get somebody out of his seat on a catch when you're up by 10. It's a really good catch. So Carter gets the defensive red belt. For the pitching, very strange weekend when it comes to the pitching red belt. I can't remember 7. Like, that, there was 7 choices for the whole weekend. There was only 7 pitchers. So usually I get the box scores and I kind of look at them and, you know, usually it's 11, to be honest, 12, something like that. And, you know, there's some you're just knocking right out and you get down to 3 or 4 and then I just come up with one. But there was only 7 total this weekend, which was really cool. I can't remember as low of a number. That's Cass's department. Yeah. But it seemed very low to me. And I've been doing this for, how long have we been doing this? 6 years? Like, I can't remember such a low list, you know, when I look at all the box scores. But I'm going to go with Drew Burr. Carl mentioned him in the intro. 5 innings, 4 hits, 4 Ks. He gave up the inherited runners, but he didn't give up another one. And that game was close. Okay, you're going to see that final and you're going to think it wasn't, but it was. 4 late runs. Burr kept it close. He's had a great month. I saw the at Indiana Base put out a great stat with his April numbers with him, Joey B, and there was somebody else. I mean, they've really turned it around. So Drew Burr is going to get the Joey Donato red belt for the pitching. Offensively, there really was several choices. And you know, you want to do honorable mentions and you want to let everybody get some shine, but anybody who watched these games saw it, right? Tyler Cerny grand slam. Nobody even got a hit before he did that. It was like walk, hit by pitch. We're taking pitches. We're doing what we got to do. And Tyler hits the grand slam. But for consistency, I'm going to go Devin Taylor. You know, he had 3 hits and 3 runs and 4 RBIs on Saturday with 2 home runs. Then on Sunday, only 1 home run. Sorry. Only 2 more hits. Only 2 more runs. So Devin really shined. I hear Coach talk about it a lot on the post game that people pitch Devin differently than they do others in our lineup. And I guess, you know, for whatever reason, you know, he got more pitches to hit, or he did with more with his opportunities, let's say, in this series. You know, basketball, I know it's a big basketball state, right? Even if your guy's hurt, if you run him out there on the wing, there's a chance that you could pass it to him, right? Like he's like the decoy or something. Not that Devin Taylor is a decoy. But having Devin Taylor's bat in this lineup, even if you have to walk him, pitch around him, do what you got to do, it's always in the pitcher's mind. Where am I in the lineup? Where's Taylor? Where am I in the lineup? So I think that's game-changing too, right? He was picked as an All-American. Is he going to get it? I don't know. Is he going to get Big Ten Player of the Year? I don't know. But I am damn grateful he's in our lineup. I could say that. So offensively, the Alex Dickerson Award is going to go to Devin Taylor for the week. So that's Devin, Drew, and Carter for the red belts. Now, I got to tell you, there has been quite a switch with the conference race and the RPI. And I can tell you, I don't know if it was maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I was hoping we would make the Big Ten tournament. And Carl is going to explain to us that the expectations are a little higher now.
A little higher. That does not mean that, you know, things are still great. There's a lot of work still left to do. But what I basically say is this: Indiana did no more and no less than they had to this past weekend. In order to get to a top 45 RPI before the Big Ten tournament, that is, you know, they're going to need to go 8-3 down the stretch. And that basically required, it was 11-3 last week. It was basically, essentially, it was like, yeah, Rutgers, they're going to have to get a sweep somewhere. And Rutgers felt like it was the most likely scenario. Well, then once we discussed that, we then found out that Foley was not going to be available. So then it's just like sweeping a team, as good a hitting team as Rutgers is, in a team that has a true Friday ace. That was just, but hey, they took care of it. They did it. Now it's 8-3 down the stretch. Now all 11 games are against Power Five teams. The Big Ten series are two on the road, one at Purdue, who is number one in the Big Ten right now, one at Nebraska, who is the best RPI in the Big Ten right now and is actually playing. I mean, if Nebraska gets hot here, they have a chance to host. So those are two very tough series. Tracy Smith in Michigan coming to the BART. Of those three of among the five are within one game of each other for the Big Ten lead right now. This is the craziest we have ever seen a Big Ten title race. It's going to be a free-for-all with five teams going for this title. And Iowa only 2.5 back, but I kind of think at this point with that many in front of them, I think Iowa's in a real tough spot. So I think it really comes down to these five teams, which is just nuts. And of course, you look at Indiana, it, both good and bad. Indiana's got to play. It's 9 remaining games against teams that are in this group. But then again, they get to play their last 9 games against teams that are in this group. They have a chance to give those teams losses, which is necessary. They do not have an opportunity to give Illinois a loss. And that's, Illinois has been a real surprise in this. Nothing, and then Cass has brought this up multiple times, nothing has been predictable up to this point. You know, for now, what does IU need to do in the short term? They need to go win the series in West Lafayette. They got to take that series. There is no margin of error when it comes to the RPI for losing series going forward. And that's where, you know, it would have been different than last year. Like last year, they ended up losing that series at Michigan State. Didn't really hurt anything. They're not in a situation, even with Purdue being as good as they are, even with Purdue being predicted this week to be in the, by D1 baseball to be in the field, Indiana's got to go win this game. They got to kind of go take that slot from Purdue at this point.
3 weeks ago, though, you're dying for this, right?
Yeah.
Dying for this, to have control of your own destiny with this many games left. This did not seem, this seemed like a pipe dream.
Yeah.
Okay. This is, give me this all day. I love being able to play these teams. If we were playing the other guys, I'd be like, all right, well, hopefully we beat them and don't take them lightly. And then we have to hope that this guy beats that guy and that these two tie. We control our destiny. We win three Big Ten series, I think we're sitting pretty.
Yep. Now, part of that, though, is they also need to take care of business in the midweeks. And we'll kind of get into that, those details later. But there's two more midweeks left, one at home against Big 12 Cincinnati and one on the road against ACC Louisville. So, again, all Power 5 games going forward. And we'll see. We'll see how they stack up. And if they, you know, 8-3, the way this team played against Rutgers, I think 8-3 is not in any way, shape, or form out of the question.
Well, and then you're going to get Connor Foley back, hopefully. We're going to get Tibbetts back, at least his offense. You know, that's something you also didn't mention in the open call. We did that without Tibbetts' is bat, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, so with that, we're obviously looking forward to this rivalry series coming up. The Hoosiers head to West Lafayette. Purdue would be co-champs and the number one seed in the Big Ten tourney if the season ended today. But Indiana's only one game behind. This might be the most important Hoosier Boiler matchup in the last decade. Cass will give us our preview of Purdue.
Yes, thank you, Carl. So, Purdue, as we've mentioned, Purdue's top of the conference right now. They're 29-15 on the season, including 11-4 in conference play, and at home they're 14-8. They are currently 62nd in the RPI. And for comparison, IU is currently sitting at 67. Gained a couple of spots not playing this week. In Big Ten play, Purdue actually started off a little rough in conference play. They lost one to two at Iowa, lost 1-2 at Ohio State. But then they swept Rutgers, they swept Michigan State, and they swept Northwestern, which, as we've talked about, to win the conference and to position yourself well for postseason, you have to sweep some. You don't have to sweep all. That's very unrealistic, but sweeps really help you. Carl just talked about how Indiana's got a pretty difficult stretch, a tough stretch to finish out the season. After this weekend, Purdue does have to finish at Michigan and versus Illinois. So they also do have some from those same group of teams to finish out the year as well. On the mound, we do know that Friday will be Jordan Morales and Saturday will be Luke Wagner. We do not yet know Sunday, but I've got a couple of guys we can look at there. So Jordan Morales, he's currently got a 4.5 ERA with a 1.45 whip in 62 total innings of work. The thing that really jumped out to me was the fact that he's only walked 16 guys and he's struck out 56. We saw that statistically with Rutgers coming in, and it was a little different for them. The Hoosiers were still very good at being patient at the plate and drawing those walks and hit by pitches. So you never know. He has given up 7 home runs, which is a bit on the high side. And he has a .295 batting average against versus Northwestern. Last week, he gave up 2 earned runs on 3 walks and 5 hits in 6 innings. For Saturday, we're going to see Luke Wagner, who's currently 7-0 in 11 starts. He has a 5.04 ERA in 55 and a third innings of work. He's another one. He's walked 17 and he's struck out 44 on the year. So another one who tends to have solid control. He's given up 5 home runs, and he's got a .332 batting average again. So teams are getting some hits off of him, but a combo of offense supporting him and a bit of not being able to string hits together has helped him out a lot. Last weekend versus Northwestern, he gave up 3 earned runs on 3 walks and 7 hits in 5 innings. Now, Sunday is currently TBD. I believe it's TBD versus TBD. So that's always fun. The options there, the most common Sunday starter has been Jonathan Blackwell, but he did not start last week. He has a 4.58 ERA in 35 and a third innings of work and a 1.3 whip. Another option is Kyle Iwinski. He's who pitched last Sunday. And he has a 7.26 ERA in 31 innings of work and a 3.04 batting average against. Some other names to watch for out of the pen. They've got some guys who are pitching a ton of appearances, but not huge stretches at any one time, typically. First one to look for is Avery Cook. He has 18 appearances, a total of 27 innings, and a 3.33 ERA. That was too fun to pass up. But his batting average against is just 198. Another one is Aaron Suval. 17 appearances and 30 and two-thirds innings of work. He's got a 4.70 ERA. Carter Dorn has 16 appearances, 29 innings of work, and a 1.98 batting average against. He has a 4.03 ERA. And Davis Pratt has 15 appearances, 22 and two-thirds innings of work, and a 4.37 ERA. So those are some guys Hoosiers are likely to see at least once, in some cases could see them twice. Some of these guys have pitched multiple times in a weekend. As a staff, the Boilermakers have a 4.64 ERA and a 1.45 whip. As I kind of mentioned, they've given up 156 walks to 341 strikeouts. So like I said last week with Rutgers, you can't necessarily be hunting for the walk. If they give it to you, great. Take what they give you. But you can't, you have to be a bit more aggressive on this. They're not, as a team, gonna be too big on walks. They have given up 41 home runs on the year, so that is something to watch as well. On the other side, at the plate, they've got five bats who are currently batting above 300. Led by what I'm going to say is probably, very likely, the Big Ten freshman of the year in Luke Gaffney. He is still hitting .412 with a 1.224 OPS. He's hit 11 home runs. He has 60 RBI. And even as a freshman, he's got 24 walks to just 22 strikeouts, which is not particularly common amongst freshmen. So he's going to be the really big bat to watch. Camden Gasser is another one. He's got a 3.66 batting average. He actually has... This is one of the larger spreads I've seen at the plate. 47 walks to 30 strikeouts. You don't see that big of a spread between the two very often. He's got a 5.41 on base percentage, which he uses to his advantage with his 15 stolen bases in 18 attempts. He likes to run, and he will run. Joe Stevens is hitting .333. He's got 8 home runs, so a bit of a power threat. And he's 8-for-10 on stolen bases as well when he doesn't, you know, hit it out of the park. Logan Sutter is hitting .322 with a 1.112 OPS, 8 home runs. And Connor Cascanet is hitting .317, leading the team with 12 home runs and also 60 RBI. A couple other bats to watch for. Mike Bolton Jr. He's batting .287, but he's 19-for-21 on stolen bases. And Keegan Spence is hitting .278, and he also has 8 home runs. As a team, the Boilermakers bat .298, and they have 60 home runs, which is at least a little bit concerning for the team who I believe still leads the conference in home runs given up. So that is something to watch for. We hope it's not a concern. I'm knocking on some wood right now, but that is something to watch for. This is a team that hits home runs, playing a Hoosier team that gives up more than anybody would like. And they have 239 walks to 330 Ks. Again, that's a pretty walk-heavy team, a pretty balanced team. And they are 69 for 86 in stolen bases, which I'd have to imagine is pretty close to Rutgers in the top of the conference. So this is going to be an interesting series. It's, as we've seen, one of the biggest, most important Purdue-Indiana series in quite a while, where both teams seem to be playing at a decently high level. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. And Carl, you've got to look at the midweek opponent, Cincinnati.
Cincinnati has been competitive in its first year as a Power 5 school in the Big 12 Conference. The Bearcats are 11-10 in league play, 25-20 overall. They are a bit better than IU with a 6-4 record in midweek action so far this season. What they've done is, unlike IU, they've beaten the teams they should. But they've struggled against teams like Ohio State, who they lost to last week. Offensively, they're led by Josh Cross and Tommy O'Connor, who both have at least a dozen home runs and OPS north of 1,000. Cal Sepsic's older brother Luke is on this team. He's a starter hitting .319 for the year with a .413 on base percentage. He drew three walks and scored a run against Ohio State in that game last week. Also in that game, Bearcat pitching was split up among seven pitchers, with the first four all getting beat up for multiple earned runs. So Indiana's going to have to try to replicate what the Buckeyes managed to do and just hit really well up and down the lineup and against all of these different staff arms that they may throw at them. So it's a Power 5 opponent, but one that I would expect, given what we've seen, Indiana should be expected to win, provided things go the way that that they can hit the way they've been hitting in the last couple of weeks. We'll see how that goes. Chris will now give us an update on alumni and future Hoosiers.
Thanks, Carl. Yeah, as always, our future Hoosiers, but our Pro Bowl Hoosiers are brought to us by @ProBowlHoosiers on Twitter. He does great work tracking all our Pro Bowl Hoosiers in any state, country, sport, province. I don't know what else to call places where people live, but he will find them, and he will give you their information on Twitter, @ProBowlHoosiers. Check them out if you can. So far, the past week, we had a huge hit from Matt Gorski. Top of the ninth, two strikes, two outs. He hits a triple to the gap to give his Indianapolis Indians the lead. I won't talk about what happened later, but it was a huge hit in the top of the ninth for Matt Gorski. And, it reminded me after, you know, I'm not watching it live, but when I saw the highlight, it really reminded me of that big home run against Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament. It was two hits, two strikes. He hits the bomb and was still alive. So it was really good to see. Now, Matt's not playing every day. He's been taking some turns inside, different parts of the outfield for Indianapolis. But they are home this weekend, depending on when you're listening to this. And this will probably be the last weekend to check out Paul Skeens. He's pitching Sunday, they've announced. So you want to see a future MLB player. He's got a little Matt Harvey buzz, I can tell you that. And when Harvey was coming up, when he came to the Mets, he was like a rock star. This kid's like a rock star, okay? If you got a chance to see him one more time, go to the Vic on Sunday. You can see Matt Gorski hopefully play out in the outfield too for the Indians. But I just wanted to pass that along because it's probably the last shot you're going to get to see Skeens in a minor league uniform. Other guys for us, Timmy Herron. Really, we talked about him last week. Two weeks ago, he pitched real well against Boston. He's now down to a .69 ERA over 10 innings. That puts him second all time if you do by 10 innings. Pitchers ERA as a Pro Bowl Hoosier. So Timmy really has been pitching well. Andrew Salfranc got called up this week. He did get shuffled back down to AAA. Looks like he might be going back and forth this year. Oh, rough life, right? From AAA to the Bigs, Bigs to AAA. Fine with me. That was my life. but especially considering he plays in Reno, you know, for Triple A, so pretty close to Vegas anyway. Good for you, buddy. Enjoy your good season. Obviously, if players have options, they're going to use them. They trusted him in the World Series last year, so you know he's part of their plan. So it's good to see him too. As far as other, I don't know, issues or things you might have to think about, maybe one of our future Hoosiers getting drafted by MLB, which is, of course, always possible, especially how good we've been recruiting lately. You know, we have lost a couple recruits to the MLB draft in the past. I got to tell you, this Hogan Denny, Mooresville Pioneers, Mooresville's high school, has been crushing the ball, okay? He's 6 foot, 200. He has 6 home runs already this year. He has 19 RBIs. He's only played 10 games. Okay, OPP of 1.1368. So Hogan Denny is a name you want to know. Let's hope he makes it to the BART. You know, obviously whatever his family decides is up to him. But that could be a name that we could see before, during IU, and maybe after as a Pro Bowl Hoosier to see what's going on. I am going to try to focus on maybe one or two high school guys each week as we're getting through these high school seasons now. We have a lot of big name prospects coming up, but definitely Hogan Denny is one of them. So that's just to look at the alumni and the high school guys. Obviously this major focus on our guys this weekend. You know, I looked back, I didn't really realize that this really is the one of the major biggest series against Purdue. Like, we don't even play them that much the way that the season, you know, combined. We didn't even have a series against them, or we just have those two midweeks or something. And now we're battling for the top of the conference. We've been playing well lately. We obviously have, you know, and consistency is important, though. Carl, what do you think about running this through the rest of the 11-game season?
Yeah, well, I think that is the real thing to look at. And it was the most encouraging thing from this sweep was that was a few things. Number one, I think Cass made the point that, you know, Fridays and Sundays were kind of the issue. This team jumped on this Friday starter, and he was a legit Friday starter. And then he settled in, and he was tough when he settled in, but then they also got to him and wore him down when he was at the end of his outing. So doing both of those things, jumping on him early and getting at him when he was wearing down, gave them the ability to score 8 runs on a Friday, which was huge. You know, Chris mentioned the fantastic defense the team has been playing. And that they obviously hit very well. But the thing was, is they hit 1 through 9. There wasn't a hole in the lineup this weekend. And this is the first time it's really felt like that. It's like, you know, somebody's, you know, it just felt like there's always been like, oh, there's that one spot that's just not there. And we're saying this, to your point, Chris, without Brock Tibbetts in the lineup.
I'm saying, bro. I mean, let's not sleep on Brock. You know what I mean? Guy was a model of consistency. He had 149 games played in a row. Guy hits bombs. Guy hits clutch. He'll take a walk if you need it to. He ain't like, you know, all about ego. Very rarely have I seen him try to, you know, go out of himself at the plate. We're going to pencil him into this lineup. We're just going to get better.
Yep. But then you add, but the point is, you just see the job that Brinchesky and Stadler have done as catcher and first base with Brock and playing every day. With Brock out, and they've just been, I mean, Stadler has just been phenomenal. And I hope he's definitely geared up to go play his old team this weekend.
Oh, yeah, he is. He had one hit for them the whole year. One hit. Unbelievable.
And he said he's been the most reliable RBI guy. That was a quote from Coach. Said he's been our most reliable you know, in those key situations. It's like, hey, Jake's up, and you just kind of feel, yep. I mean, it's even when it's like you have one of those situations where, you know, runner on third with less than one out, and then it gets to two outs, and you're like, well, Jake's up. He'll figure out a way to get one of these runs across the plate, and he's just been coming through.
Cerny would be a pickup there too. Tyler Cerny, runners on base, guys on, clutch hitting. I'm surprised. He would have been my pick over. If we do the numbers, I bet they'll be real close. You know, they've both been so good, good in clutch situations.
Yep. So we've got, you know, got clutch hitters. It feels like the lineup might be kind of situated in a good order now. It felt like that, and I guess that's hard when you have so many good hitters, is to kind of figure out what's the best way to situate things. At least for now, I think Taylor's working out really well as a leadoff hitter. It's kind of difficult that you don't want to pitch around the first guy of the that you're facing. At the same time though, because of how well Matheson and Oliver are doing now, that gives Taylor RBI situations as the lineup comes around. Again, it's just solid 1 through 9, and you might be starting to see better bench options come up as players get healthy. I mean, they keep hinting that we're going to start seeing guys get healthy. From a pitching perspective, they only took 7 pitchers, and not one of them was Connor Foley.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then you look at the announcement, it looks like Connor Foley is going to be back. He's going to start on Saturday. I think the thought process is that he's been out for a while, so it's not going to be a full 5 to 7 inning Connor Foley start. And my hope is we don't know anything. We haven't heard anything. Obviously, Ty Bothwell has not been announced as a starter for this weekend when he has been starting in recent weeks. So hopefully we're not dealing with an injury there. Again, I've not heard anything. My thought is though, Connor's going to have to work back up, and this is go back to what they did at the beginning of the season. You have Connor for 2 to 3 innings, then hand it over to Ty. Their profiles are different. Ty has been very successful when Connor gives him a lead in. So you do that on Saturday. That takes care of Saturday. They're going to start with Keister just like they did last week. See if that, hey, just try it again. Let's run that out there again. Maybe that same trio, maybe it's different. Maybe Burst sees some action there. But let's say the same trio is successful, Saturday is successful, and then you've got multiple options, including Tyrai, Burr, and Aiden Decker Petty available for Sunday. So it's so many good options that are available to cover these innings. When we were thinking just a month ago, we're like, how are they going to possibly get there? And we were talking about like debating, should they break up the Saturday duo? And the reason we gave that they should break it up is just so they got to cover the innings. And if Foley and Bothwell are both able to produce 6 innings, you don't want them both pitching on the same day. So if you're thinking that Foley's going to be limited to maybe one time through the order, maybe a certain number of pitches, whatever the limitation is, then hey, let's put these guys back together. I'm hoping that's the strategy, and that's all we're dealing with that. So, anything else we want to discuss on what we're thinking about that? Cass, do you have anything else?
I did want to mention, I forgot in my preview, there is a chance for rain on Friday. It's looking like it's going to be mostly in the morning, but there is a chance for some rain on Friday that could screw with some timing. Just as a heads up for anyone who, particularly who's heading up to West Lafayette. But other than that, just the echoing what you said, the consistency. We've seen them play at their potential. Let's see if they can keep doing it.
And not have a letdown. And that's something we've seen a lot. We've seen them have games oftentimes against lesser opponents where the bats just go cold. And the hope is that you've got, 1 through 9 hitting well, and that they can keep their approaches. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be great. I mean, you looked at that, like I said, with Rutgers, it was they got to their guy early and late. But the point is that on a Friday, that's pretty much you've got to find your spots and be able to do enough damage to give your pitchers a chance to hold things. Well, that will take us into our discussion on our Big Ten pick'ems. So let's take a look at where we are right now. The order from last week has not changed. It's still Josh, Zach, Chris, Cass, and myself. Josh, Zach, and I each were 3-2 last week, which normally would not be good. But Chris and Cass, you guys were 2-3 last week. So I have to call it out because normally I'm bad, but I'm still in last place. I'm still a full series behind Cass.
You can't go 9-1 every 2 weeks. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, but they, yeah, that 9-1 stretch though still has you solidly in third and two series ahead of Cass. So
Ooh.
I'm 14-15. I am still underwater right now. Cass is a series ahead at 15-14. Chris is two series ahead at 17-12. But Zach is two series ahead of Chris at 19-10. And Josh is still leading this at 20-9. He is still just quietly dominating the rest of us. So here we are. Now we are at our new week coming up. We've got Michigan. They're also in a rivalry series at Michigan State. Another somewhat rivalry are the two East Coast teams. Maryland is traveling to Rutgers. Ohio State is heading against the other big, is traveling to the other Big Ten leader, Illinois. Nebraska is traveling to Minnesota, and Northwestern is traveling to Iowa. So Chris, you said you wanted to pick first, so I'm giving it to you.
Well, I got to mix it up after last time it didn't go as well. So we will start the picks hearing about the Hoosier Ticket Project. And I did a little research on this. You can donate road games. So now there's only so many games at the Bart left. What is it, four, right?
Yep.
We got three, Michigan and Cincinnati. So if you've got tickets to the Bart, call the Hoosier Ticket Project or go to the link that's in, you know, down there. If you look under the thing, you'll see it. But call them, donate them, get some people to the Bart. But I did verify, if you have tickets to Purdue for those three games, Nebraska, or Louisville, you can donate those and send a Hoosier fan on the road. You are allowed to do that. So if you have an opportunity to put someone to the bowl game that couldn't otherwise go, you know, just to real quick, you know, read their mission statement, how your generosity supports the Hoosier Ticket Project's mission, increases our impact on the community, and gives us the resources to send more families and kids to upcoming Indiana University events. So it's a really good program. And if you're looking for tickets and you need some, reach out to them. They'll help you out. I don't know how many road tickets are going to get, honestly. But they got a lot of tickets to the BART. They'll get you out there for the Michigan series. I know fireworks night is Friday night. That could be real fun. I would think Saturday you got the senior events, another really cool thing. So, you know, reach out. Maybe they can help you out and get you some tickets. For my Big Ten picks, I'm going to go Iowa, Minnesota, Ohio State, Maryland, and Sparty. So hopefully I can get back on a winning track. What was I, 2-3? I'll go for 4-1 this week.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and jump to our leaders now. So let's see here. Let me see here. So Josh, we'll start with Josh. Well, actually, I already know because I've read these. Josh and Zach picked the same, so I guess we'll just do both of them.
twofer.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, so Josh is picking three road teams, which will be Michigan over Michigan State, Maryland over Rutgers, and Nebraska over Minnesota. And he's taking two home teams. He's taking Illinois over Ohio State and Iowa over Northwestern. And just to be absolutely confirming, I'm going to read Zach's as well, just to make sure I didn't mess that up. So, yes, Zach picked Michigan, Maryland, Illinois, Nebraska, and Iowa. I think that all tracks. Okay, so now we'll hand it over to Cass. Cass, what are your picks?
Well, if I was following along correctly, mine are exactly the same. Michigan, Maryland, Illinois, Nebraska, and Iowa. Because I was going with what I saw as the favored team for the what I would say is probably pretty heavily favored to win the series for three of them. I think Maryland Rutgers is a toss up, but seeing how Rutgers has played recently, I'm not too convinced even at home. And while I think Michigan State can beat Michigan, I don't think they will. So those were my picks.
Yep. Well, I've got to be a little bit more bold. So for the most part, I'm agreeing, but I am going to pick one upset to try to. I mean, I know I'm at this point not going to be able to catch, you know, anybody like Josh or Zach, yeah. But I at least want to take Cass. I want to get. I need to take Cass. So And if I'm going to do it, I'm also going to do it to where in a way that may help the Hoosiers. So I'm going to say that Ohio State is going to go in and take 2 out of 3 against Illinois.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going to differ. But otherwise,
I mean, they were the favorite. I thought they were the favorite in that pick.
I mean, but it's just as hard to say because Illinois continues to just win series. So
right. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yep. And I always try to, like, as a general rule across the board, I don't root in games that my team's not in but could affect my team's standings or postseason or everything. Like, as soon as I start rooting for games to go one way, it doesn't go well. So I don't root in other games, and therefore I try to leave that out of my picks completely.
Yeah, well, it's just I'm underwater, so I'm just trying I'm trying to see if
she's the back-to-back champion. I'm not questioning that strategy.
I'm going to take just from what, you know, Chris, because Chris has just not had a whole lot of faith in Illinois. So, and you know, you look at what Illinois had a somewhat easy road, but they've done well with it. That's the thing. That's why not everyone does well with an easy road. And obviously Indiana struggled against Illinois at home. So yeah, but we'll see. Know.
They remind me of that Maryland team that everybody was gassing up. They were national seed. UConn went in there and beat them. And they didn't even get out of the first round, and they hosted the regional. I'll never forget that. I mean, we played. I'm like, they didn't seem that good. And yet they were a national seed, it turned out. And UConn knocked them out at their home regional. I was loving it.
All right. Well, those are our picks. Those will be up on the site. So thank you for listening to this episode of Talking Hoosier Baseball. For more on Indiana University baseball, hit up iubase.com. For Chris Feeney and Cassidy Palmer, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.